Jones Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Look at that. Already back. What's cracking? Welcome back. We are into hour number three. I am Jim Rome. We are live in Southern California. And as you know, the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. We are coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. And when you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. So why am I fumbling around? Because I've got two of the best ever in studio. They are actors. They are comedians. They are guest hosts of this program. They are friends of the program. And they've got a brand new show, View from the Cheap Seats with the Sklar Brothers. It's a podcast and the Dumb People Town podcast and host of the Nosebleeds with the Sklar Brothers on UFC Fight Pass. The first episode is currently available on YouTube. Randy and Jason Sklar are in studio. Randy, Jason, what's up, fellas?
I mean, what's up?
When do we ever get to the three of us get to be in the same
so
studio?
It's so good.
I'm flashing back to the Showtime show where we had our most fun. Guys, you guys are the ultimate pros. You know this. I made the point, know your room. Just. Be careful, right? This is daytime. This is
CBS. We know where we are. There's just a way to adjust the material on the fly as stand-up comedians. You know, you feel the room, you read the room, and you say to yourself, okay, we got to adjust this right here. Look, daytime, CBS Sports, we're not going to hurt you.
I retract this statement. I should have known. What a waste of time. I should have never said it. Now, if we were to go back, Cheap Seats back in the day was a genuinely iconic show. People loved it. Yeah. People have been asking for you to bring it back. And now, effectively, you've done just that with UFC Fight Pass, the Nosebleed. You're on billboards all over LA. You're getting a ton of viewers on YouTube. Let me start with you, Randy. How did Nosebleeds first come to be, and how good does it feel to have it out there?
So, you know, it's like you do a lot of things, and you know, based on social media, what people want to see. And so we did Cheap Seats back 2002 to 2010. It was airing regularly on ESPN Classic and sometimes on ESPN. And since that point, everyone was like, you got to bring the show back. You have to figure out a way to bring Cheap Seats back. We're just waiting for the right opportunity. Then a great executive over at ESPN, Crawley Sullivan. I don't know if you ever met him or know him. Really close with Mark Shapiro. He went over to UFC, and he was running Fight Pass, which is the largest combat library of sports ever. And he said, I want to figure out a way to do Cheap Seats here. We were like, okay, first things first, let's call it the Nosebleeds. It's combat sports.
It's
let's do that. It's fighting. And second of all, let's work with your staff to find the best possible shows. And then, so you're looking at UFC 1. That's the first episode that's up on YouTube, okay?
Jim Brown is announcing UFC.
Wild.
So at one moment, we're like,
wild.
Jim Brown. Was O.J. Simpson not available?
Well, it was the mid-90s.
I don't think that he, well, okay.
It was the mid-90s. He was booked.
Had he killed anybody yet?
Yeah. We're like, oh, I'm sorry. He was in the process of being booked at that point.
Dude, I miss that stuff so much.
Jim Brown, we were like, Jim Brown, you've never fought MMA and you're retired from football. What's your opinion about this fight?
Yeah, give us your take.
So that was amazing. Bill Wallace, who is a famous kickboxer, he was the main announcer, but he
belches on air,
burped on camera, got everyone's name wrong, would just take look, Jim Rome.
I think he had a stroke on air.
Jim Rome is the absolute best at taking the long pregnant pause. I can't tell you how many times I've been driving along and I was like, what's wrong with my radio?
Nothing.
It's just you waiting.
No, pausing.
It's just waiting in that pause, sitting in the pocket. This guy was not doing it for effect. So not good. The intros were weird. Brian Kilmeade from Fox and Friends is the ringside announcer. There's so much fun in this. So we're like, all right, we can dig into this.
Believe it or not, Brian Kilmeade used to be on 690 AM when I was on 690.
Wow.
So it goes way back. And then you mentioned Mark Shapiro. I mean, big hat tip to Shap. Like everything starts with Shap somehow, right? Like we're all connected to Mark Shapiro. Guys, before we go any further, for those who don't know what we're talking about, I want to kick to a promo. You guys are not wearing headphones. You might not hear it. But for those in New York, go ahead and pop this promo really quickly so they know what we're talking about.
We're coming to you from three floors below the Octagon with a show that's going to take a new look at some of the most insane moments in UFC history. This is probably going to ramp up slowly over time. And oh, my God! Butterbean answering the age-old question, what if a thumb was a person?
Are these guys twins?
No, they just dress like them.
Weird.
Lame.
Right?
Come on. Yeah, enjoy, guys.
Somebody call tech support?
No.
And you can take that to the bank.
That is a solid business model. Agreed. No notes.
I'll tell you what, dudes, that looks absolutely awesome. You can tell there's a lot of production value, a lot of money behind it. Jason, let me ask you, like, for those who do not remember, and many wouldn't, the first Ultimate Fighting Championship was in 93 in Denver. What was that card or so-called bracket like?
So, first of all, no weight classes. So you had a sumo guy fighting a Savate guy. Mm-hmm. And in the first fight, he kicks his teeth out. Literally kicked a tooth out. end a fight in like 30 seconds. You got people who just don't understand that Hoist Gracie is going to come in and just mount you and it'll be over in like 30 seconds. No one knew back then that full mount was like a horrible position to be in. It's over. You had Art Jimerson, a boxer who only brought one glove.
One glove.
That's insane. It's hilarious.
Yeah, can I ask what's more embarrassing, losing a fight or showing up to a fight with one glove?
I'm like, that's why you don't pack when you're drunk.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Know what you've got.
He probably had another glove, but it was like an oven mitt.
You're like, come on. Dude, it was, and it's such a funny thing because they're trying to figure out, UFC, we know what they've become. They're a juggernaut. They know what they're doing.
And when
over
we
there.
Pitched it to UFC, we were like, look, listen, guys, think of an old yearbook picture of yourself back, like our yearbook picture in 1990. The hair was bad. You know who you are today, but who you were back then, you can poke fun at it. And I feel like Dana White and the UFC right now is in such a confident place with the product they put out there that they're like, we can take some shots at ourselves. It actually makes you look
stronger. I was going to say, though, fellas, can you? Because you guys have a brand and you guys are going to pull no punches.
That's right.
So when you're cracking jokes about the fight, the fighters, the announcers, is everybody good with this? Is the UFC okay with this?
I guess we'll find out next time. But no, I mean, we made a joke about like young Dana White. We're like, you saw young Dana White in the first episode of The Ultimate Fighter. So we do it's not just fights. The first episode of The Ultimate Fighter is fair game. So we said that young Dana White is what old Jeff Bezos is trying to look like.
Exactly.
And you get that sense when you look at him. You're like, okay, I got this.
Wow.
And Dana, it's so great. You see how far he's come from the beginning. You see how the league has developed. And for us,
there's a healthy love. And as we know from doing roast and roasting with our buddy Jeff Ross, and the roast battle on Comedy Central, you can't roast something unless you love it. If you roast something and you don't like it, it comes off as hate.
You get it, but do the guys getting roasted always get it? Like, I know Dana really well. Dana can be the most charming guy in the world and awesome, but Dana also can be pretty tough to deal with. So, like, have you guys dealt with him directly? Have you talked content with him?
So we haven't dealt with him directly,
but all reaction from him.
He likes it. I mean, he thinks it's a really funny show. So, you know, for our money here, we put our sort of our money on ourselves, and we know that actually we feel very connected to the UFC because, you know, us, we're scrappers, we're grinders. We've had to sort of take it brick by brick and build this thing. And we know for this show on UFC Fight Pass, we're going to have to build it brick by brick because they've never done a comedy before.
It's a big swing for them.
And it's kind of what the UFC itself has done. They had to build acceptance of this sport brick by brick. So I think we can relate to those guys in that way. And, you know, it's comedy. It's a link to our old show, Cheap Seats, that you're doing in a new way, which all of our fans from that are like, thank God it's back.
I think it's awesome, actually, that it's back. So let me ask you this. What other events are you taking on during this run of the Nosebleeds, and how do the clones find the program?
All right. Well, so how do they find it? The first one is UFC 1. That's the first episode of the show, and it's on UFC's YouTube page. Easy to find. Just go to YouTube. Go to our Instagram, and there's a link in our profile, but it's easy to find. Nosebleed Sklar Brothers UFC, you'll find it on YouTube. The rest of them are on Fight Pass. You sign up, and you are
subscribe to Fight Pass.
It's good.
It's great, and you'll be able to see the other five. And the other five, again, we do the first episode of Tough, the first episode of The Ultimate Fighter, which is hilarious. Some dude pees on someone else's bed. I mean,
Chris Lieben.
Chris Lieben. And he says he just spritz.
He spritz. We're like, R. Kelly isn't
buying that defense right there.
Correct.
Okay? So that's in the third episode. The second episode we did Fry Takayama, which is one of the best slugfests. It's a hockey fight.
It looks like a fight that should be taking place outside of a Chuck E. Cheese. It's insane. So we did that fight. There's an Alaskan fight during COVID that happened in like a church backyard, AFC 159, which is just insane. Again, this is a professional outfit here, but you go there and I'm like, who set up these microphones? Ray Ray's coffee?
Why are the speakers in the trees facing the other direction? It's fantastic.
If I said to you guys, like, looking at those things back then, if I had said to you that it would one day become one of the biggest things in the world and one of the biggest sports in the world, what would you have said?
How are they going to do this? How? And they have so much they have to sort of overcome. They have to sort of make the fighting. And I think what they've done, and if you want to compare it to boxing, and I know you know the boxing game too, I think what UFC does that is better than anybody else is they make the fights people want to see week in and week out, 100%. Month in and month out. So you say, okay,
Pacquiao Mayweather happened 5 years after it should have happened. Like, once that...
Isn't that how you guys first got into MMA and the UFC? Waiting on that fight.
Waiting
on that fight that never happened. All right, it's not going to happen. What do I do in the meantime?
So they pick up an opportunity. They say, okay, we're going to make the fights. We're going to make the fighters stars, and we're going to make the fights that you want to see. So you see Peña Nunes 8 months after the first one happened. You don't have to wait 3 years for that to happen. And it's exciting to me. You know, you start to follow these guys, like a guy like Patty Pimlet as he makes his rise up
there. I love him. What's your reaction to him so far?
Amazing. Dude, he's risen more than his weight has risen in the last little bit.
He's walking around like a 200, I think, right now.
He's like, oh, he's tipping it two spins. Fat and happy. Why do we need abs?
We all would.
I love it. I love he's speaking truth. And that's what's fun. And he's fun. He's great for the sport. People love him. I kind of love that he's from England. Like, he kind of is bringing UFC from
Israel
Europe.
Adesanya is a different dude.
Oh, dude,
like, he's
sure.
a different dude. And that's
it,
what...
Lots of it.
Yes, lots of it.
Has
and
it.
He... And you know what? So when he's... He almost has like a weird bravado. So much confidence in himself that he doesn't have to show it. And you say to yourself, man, I want to see this guy continue and become the pound-for-pound best fighter in the game.
This is totally off course, but I just thought of something about getting fat and walking around. I spent the last few weeks in the north woods of Wisconsin.
Sure.
I hit the UP. How close were you guys to the UP?
So in Michigan, we are down below it, but all of our friends, like, we used to travel up there. We went to camp up in Eagle River back when we were kids in Conover, Wisconsin.
Yes.
So we were right around
there. I did not
area.
Know this. How
we
did I not
it.
Know
I
this?
I know. We went to camp
How did
up
I not
there.
Know? Okay.
I mean,
so
what a
help
great
me
area.
Explain Eagle River to the clones that do not understand it. Because a lot of the kids went to camp there.
It's like lots of water skiing up there, lots of lakes up there. It's a lot of locals. There's a moment where you're like, what are they doing up in northern Wisconsin? Are they making like saltwater taffy out of children's baby's hair? I
yes,
don't know, but
probably.
It's probably,
maybe.
But it is like, it's very quiet. It's very cool. It's chill, great nature. And we loved it. That was major part of our growing up.
Are you saying that for my effect, or do you really mean that?
No,
mean
I love it.
It's good, right?
Love it.
Love
yeah,
it.
Absolutely. It's a great untapped place. And so for all those people who want to go up there, just don't go.
Yeah.
You won't like it.
You probably won't
like it.
99% are happy that I'm there and posting, and 1% keep getting in my face saying, dude, stop doing it. The last thing we need is all California to come to the Northwoods. I'm like, nobody's coming, man. Nobody is coming.
It's
Everybody here
way.
Wants to know why I go there. Nobody's coming. It's a long way.
It's a commitment, but it's a choice. And that's, again, what we love about you is you always make the specific choice. And so there you go.
The Brothers Sklar joining me in studio. Guys, always forward, never back, but I've got to look back. Let's talk for a moment about some of the best times. Sklar'd for life.
Oh,
we had so
best.
Many great days with you guys.
So
there are a
fun.
Lot of sports going on right now, obviously, that are topical nature. What have you guys, can you think of anything more absurd than Fernando Tatis Jr. and Senior? I know that hits close to home, you
yes.
guys being Cardinal fans.
Yes.
Come on.
But
two grand slams in one inning.
Okay, exactly. And then two of the worst takes ever in talking about what happened to Junior.
Yes.
What is your reaction to the family's reaction to him popping positive and why it happened?
I mean, all he had to do is come out and say, look, I love my son. He's a star. I wish he wouldn't have done this. He's going to grow up. And that's it. That's all he had to say instead of he was getting a haircut. He got a fungus. You know how when you go get your hair, I got my haircut yesterday. I wasn't like, hey, I better watch out if there's a fungus there.
If you told me the juice in the comb, the blue comb juice, that's a fungus, then okay. Maybe I'm getting on board for a second.
The hair insecticide.
The hair insecticide.
That stuff's sick.
That's
sick. That
can destroy.
But I think
anything.
That could kill a fungus. So I don't know what he's talking about. Dude, relax. Just say, let's move forward. Let's not talk about this anymore. Instead, he's making up crazy
excuses. How about Pedro yesterday saying the Padres have to stay on him like he's and I love Pedro, by the
I
way.
Do
Met
too.
Him,
we all do.
Love
What's
him.
Not to love about Pedro?
He's so smart. So whenever he says something, I'm always like, listen to what he's saying because he knows. One time I was doing a thing with, I was at TBS. I was hanging out with Pedro Sheffield and Jimmy Rollins. And Jimmy Rollins is talking about Mike Schmidt teaching him how to pitch. And he said, you got a laptop computer?
How to hit.
Open up your laptop. See that square right there? That's your box. Don't swing at anything outside that box. And then Pedro was like, okay, see that box right there? Go 1 inch below it, and that's where I wanted to throw the ball just so that you'd think you were hitting in the box, and then you'd top it, and that's it. That's how smart he is. So when he said everybody should be watching Fernando Tatis Jr. 24/7 as to what he's putting in his body, he's not a toddler. This dude's 23 years old. You have to at some point say you got to take care of yourself.
I'm going to forgive Pedro of that take because he is Pedro.
He's
and
he's
got
best.
So much goodwill in the bank. I love
amazing.
Him. By the way, I love Chef. Don't sleep on Chef.
Chef's great.
Chef is awesome.
He is amazing. And he was great to kind of watch a playoff game with as we were shooting this thing. He's amazing. Because the things that these guys see are not the things you and I see. They're watching just the time.
Wait, you mean their takes are better than ours?
Yes, yeah, slightly better.
Slightly because better. They're Hall of Famers and played the game?
That's
yeah. They're better
take.
Than us?
Absolutely.
All right, guys. What do you make of Jerry Jones reportedly throwing down $28 million on a house in Texas.
Should we know that he threw $28 million down? No. The only reason you know is because
he's announcing it.
Right.
He's letting you know.
He's letting you know that he did that just so he can best Shaq.
How about spend $18 million and then take the other $8 or $10 million
and put spend it on a couple of wide receivers?
Get a hands guy.
Michael Gallup is injured, and you got a lot of injured wide receivers. So you're basically saying to Cowboys Nation, you're saying to America's team, I care more about showing up Shaq than I do about my team. You know, and he'll spend more time trying to figure out how to stick it to Jerry Jones and not put him in the Ring of Fame.
Jimmy Johnson. I was going to ask you this quote, guys.
Yeah.
Quote, I said I'm going to put him in. Now, when I put him in and the circumstances around when I'm going to do that, there's a lot more than Jimmy to think about. It isn't at the end of the day tailored around whether Jimmy is sniveling or not. I mean, how incredible is that line?
Sniveling Jimmy? I'm like, what are you watching, Better Call Saul? That's Trip slipping Jimmy.
Dude, how is that speech going to go when it's time to give it to him? When it's time, who's going to be responsible for handing that off to him? Who's going to be the guy presenting it to him?
I mean, he only gave you two Super Bowls, and like
last two Super Bowls.
Yeah, I mean, he only gave you two Super Bowls, and pretty much the last time the Cowboys were really relevant. So why would you want to honor him? It's like this is
what did he ever do for them?
Exactly. What did he ever do for them?
Snivel.
And the fans don't feel the way you do, Jerry, because you have your own ego about this. But the fans love Jimmy Johnson. They love him.
Jimmy Johnson still has a voice, a mouthpiece in the industry. He's still out there every day. Wouldn't you want that guy to give you goodwill
on
a weekly basis?
Yeah, wouldn't you want to fix that before it was too late? Because soon it's going to be too late.
Yep.
Fellas, do I dare ask you your thoughts about the Deshaun Watson situation, or is that going to get all of us into trouble?
No, it might get us into a little bit of trouble, but I mean, listen, you know, one massage therapist saying this happened. Okay, I'm like, look into it. Two, I'm starting to get really suspicious. 30, you got 30 people.
At that point, just teach an escort how to give you a massage.
That's it.
That's all I got to do.
That's what you have to do.
End of story.
I mean, I was surprised when he went to the Browns. We were both surprised.
Yeah, I thought he was going to end up on the Predators.
I know he doesn't play hockey, but that's a different thing, Jim.
Okay, let me see what time. It's 11:16, middle of the morning.
I'm flashing
back to our great late night moments where I made the point before you guys came on that I could say and do whatever I want to on that show. I've never seen anybody go from this spot to this spot as quickly as you guys did. Even I had these awkward moments sometimes on that show with you guys, not because of what I said or what any guests said. I mean that in the best way possible.
Sure.
Yeah,
you brought us to that room fast.
It was great. And the audience loved it too. I mean, I have to say, I do have a slight, and I love Eckersley, I have a slight bone to pick with him.
Please.
Rodolfo Castro of the Pirates slides into third, and his cell phone pops out. To me, that is not a hodgepodge of nothingness. That's a guy bringing his cell phone.
That's greatness.
Is he live tweeting his rounding second base? I mean, it's just bizarre to me.
Is his wife like texting him, hey, when you round third and you head home, can you stop off at Trader Joe's and get
just
me
a pick up
little... I mean, come on.
I mean, it's great, right?
Right. This is the first time you've heard of a cell phone popping out while you're sliding into
third. I want to see that guy scrolling between bases.
I want to
see this guy sliding into DMs as he's sliding into third base.
Yes!
Oh, you like that one, huh?
Amen.
That's a great one.
Always good to get your respect. Listen, guys, on a totally different note, and there's no easy way to do this, the Brody Stevens Festival of Friendship.
Yes.
818 Walk is taking place Saturday in Reseda. You guys were very close with him. He was the warm-up comedian on the Showtime show. One-of-a-kind person.
Just the
best. We lost him in 2019. Nobody ever repped the 818 harder. I spent most of my life growing up in the 818.
Yep.
When you think of him, what comes to mind?
I mean, love of sports, one of the best joke writers out there, self-deprecating like nobody's business, so funny, such a good guy. I mean, that was a guy who was connected to Arizona State baseball. He played in college.
Played with Fernando Vina.
I mean, he was a guy who, when we saw him at a comedy club, we'd say, Brody, how you doing? And he'd be like, 90 miles an hour with movement. That's all we needed to know. That he's like, I was in a cage the other day,
great.
90 with movement. We're like, you're doing well. And so we miss him. We love him. For anyone dealing with mental health issues, this is a chance for us to reach out. We want to reach out to people before it's too late, like it was with Brody.
Just don't want to lose anyone like that again. He burned bright while he was here. He was someone that we all loved. And so sort of let's use his legacy to help other people out. And that's why we're participating. There's a show tomorrow night at the Comedy Store that we'll be a part of that's helping to raise money with Comedy Gives Back. So we're all a part of that. Love that, dude, and love that he was connected with you, too.
And I love that he was, too. And if you're in the local area, definitely check out the Comedy Store. Is it possible finally to think of Brody without thinking or hearing his voice and wanting to do his voice?
Oh, you just go into, you got it. Yes, enjoy Stevens. It. He was the 101 to Barham.
Yeah.
He knew everything about the
mouth. To bar him.
I'm like, I kind of want Brody's voice, and this is, and I know he would love this, to be like our, you know, Google Maps voice. You know, you got it. Make a left right there. Enjoy it.
Positive energy.
Arms folded. Negative. Don't like it.
Can you guys, and I, hard for me to say now because I left the Valley in the mid-2000s and I've not spent a lot of time there, but I grew up in the Valley. Sure. And funny, the neighborhood that I grew up in is Hidden Hills. That's a neighborhood where all the new rich live now. Mm-hmm. Sean McVay is there. Mm-hmm. A lot of the reality stars are there. Yeah. It's kind of a ranch community back in the day. I played Little League baseball in Sherman Oaks.
Yeah.
Sure. Do you guys have much background with the 818? How would you describe the 818 to the rest of the nation watching and listening right now?
So 818 is, I live in the Hollywood Hills right now, and we have a choice. We can go down into Hollywood or go into Studio City, and I always choose Studio City.
I love that. Do you really?
Yeah, because it feels more like the rest of the country. It feels a little less like Holly Weird. It's more like a place where regular people go. My kid is in all like the little AAU basketball, like in the Valley in Burbank. We played Toluca Lake baseball. I know all the parents out there. They take their sports seriously.
Okay, you guys tell me because I haven't been there in a while. This is a little bit different than Hardcore Valley. Like Studio City is like the Beverly Hills of the Valley.
And
Toluca Lake is a very, very nice. Cool part of the Valley.
I grew up on the mean streets of Toluca Lake.
This
is not
I'm
a
saying.
Phrase anyone can say anymore.
I beat some kids up in Burbank.
No, it's, I'm telling you.
That's
it's,
not Van Nuys.
No,
that's not Reseda.
That's not Reseda.
Once you push further out,
San Fernando.
San Fernando. We know what kind of business takes place out there.
Yeah, sure.
The Valley's scrappy. I love it. It's hotter out there. People are just trying to survive.
You understand, we grew up like lower middle class in St. Louis, in the suburbs of St. Louis. So we relate to that life more than anything else. You drive around there, you're like, oh, this is the size of house we grew up in. You kind of get around and you're like, ah, there's a baseball field. We spent every Saturday was at a baseball field with our parents. God bless them. They would, I can't even imagine this as, you know, as parents of kids now, they'd take us to the ballpark at 7 and if you in the morning. And if you won, you'd play again at 3. But if you lost, you played at 10, you played at noon, you played at 2, and you try to get back to the championship game. And sometimes we'd be there all day.
And you had no idea the kind of commitment the parents made to that, right? You're just playing ball. Now that we are parents and we have kids and we're in that, now we know, right?
I mean, that should
be. Not that they did what yours might have. Not that mine did for me what I've done for ours.
But I mean, that should be the first thing out of any athlete's mouth. Don't give the glory to God. Give the glory to your parents who gave up all that stuff to get you to where you are, and then you can say God.
Give a little
God
bless. To God.
Give a little bit.
Give about 9%
to God. Give 91% to your parents.
You do to the best. All right. So if the clones right now, I'm sure they've already found it, but if not, and they want to see the new program, the Nosebleeds with the Sklar Brothers on UFC Fight Pass, lay it out one more time for the uninitiated. Where do they find this incredible content?
So clones, this is it, man. This is where your clones show out. Okay, go to YouTube. Go to UFC's YouTube page. Search Sklar Brothers, Nosebleeds, you'll find it. Watch that first episode. You'll get hooked. If you're on Fight Pass, then you can go watch the other five. If not, sign up for Fight Pass.
So there's two more that are on Fight Pass now, and then this Saturday when the big event happens in Salt Lake City, they're going to drop three more. So they'll all be up by this Saturday. But, you know, it's if you love cheap seats, and a lot of people say this is our show, you will love this show. Because I think, first of all, every show is under 20 minutes. It's tight. The joke. There's so many jokes in every show. You got to watch it a couple times to see it, but you'll love it.
You know, I'll tell you what I love about you guys, and we all kind of came up together. I love that when you had that chip on your shoulder and you wanted that so badly early on, you have that same fire right now.
Totally.
You still want it as badly. You want to create content as badly. You want the content to be better now than it was then. What's the approach? What's the mindset?
I mean, I
besides,
think
besides I need to eat and put kid or clothes on my kids' back.
Sure, but I think of it like whenever we get the opportunity to guest host this show, we never walk into that going, all right, we'll just figure it out when we get there.
Never.
The week of, we say to ourselves, okay, let's start compiling stories. We start sending stories around. We start getting our takes ready and getting into it because we want to do a good job. We respect where
Respect
the seat you're sitting in. You want to do a good job. We want to do a good job for you. We want to do a good job for the clones and for ourselves because the way you push yourself beyond, you're always growing. It's interesting, you know, not to get into the whole live golf thing, but Tiger Woods made a very, very interesting statement about like guys getting paid before they win tournaments. It's like, what's the motivation?
Incentive. Where's the incentive?
Where's the incentive to go out when it's like dark and you can't see and you're taking swings like that because you want to win? So there's always been incentive for us. And like we said, we're scrappers. And when we get an opportunity like this, like the nosebleeds, we just want everyone to know about it because we're proud of it. We're proud of the work we put into it. And we're like, if anybody sees it, they're going to love it.
No doubt. And you guys should be proud of it. I love the product. I love you guys. I love the respect you have for the jungle. The jungle loves you guys.
Love
and we
it.
Go way back. So it is so good to get caught up. It is so great to see you guys just absolutely killing it. Appreciate you guys both. Love you very much.
You
great
too,
to have
Robbie.
You. Keep
Thanks,
doing
man.
What you do, man.
Yes.
We love it.
The brothers Sklar, Randy and Jason. And how much better is the show for that? We never blow the format open like that. But for those guys, we do it. They are actors. They are comedians. They are very good friends of the program. And you want to make sure you check that out. The Nosebleeds with the Sklar brothers on UFC Fight Pass. The first app is currently available on YouTube. Make sure you check it out. My thanks to them. And we will come right back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
My thanks to the geniuses that are the Sklars. I mean, I would say that we just burned 25 minutes of content, which is great, but we didn't burn anything. I mean, it was great. Such good content and so easy and so fun. And a tribute to those guys. So good to get caught up with them. All right, so really quickly, I've got PGA Flat coming up next segment. Quickly, though, we have an ATP. We do that every single Wednesday, right? The Ask the Pros brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. And remember to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Right.
Jimmo's, If the Clones, push your new podcast with James Kelly to number one. Can we get a self-gloss segment as a reward? Brent in PC. Let me think about that, Brent. Yes. 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 100%. If you push that podcast to number one, you absolutely can have a self-gloss segment. That's easy. But you got to do it first. Get that down. Make it happen. Here's another one. Mr. Rome, did your family eat that fish that your son and his friend caught at the lake? Respectfully, Edward Marino from San Diego. We did not. That is a catch and release area. We did not eat that fish. The boys were licensed to fish. You have to have a fishing license and you have to catch and release. We did not eat that.
Eat it, HUD.
As much as I would like to. Jim, other things that are a hodgepodge of nothingness include: one, the content of the average press conference from the hoodie. Two, the future prospects of Daniel Jones. Three, the musical value of Go Cubs Go. Four, Pervin Liar's integrity.
Get out of Dodge.
Vince in Illinois, well done.
Hodgepodge of nothing.
Well done. Lindell Scranton tweets, the Sklar brothers in studio with Jim Rome is better than a Tom Lawless bat flip. It's good. It is, too. Ray in SA. Hey, Jim. That Sklar Brothers interview was a hodgepodge of nothingness. Signed, Dennis Eckersley. Not true. I mean, I see what you did there, but not true. Anybody who heard that could not say that. Mike D for three. Incredible conversation with the Sklars. Can I get their contact info so I can awkwardly interview them too?
Awkward.
Thanks. 12 Wood. He wouldn't need to ask me for their contact info because he got my son's contact info and tried to interview him. Not awkward at all. 12
awkward.
Wood. 12 Wood, I mean, dude, much respect and much admiration. Thank you very much for having a show about the show. I mean that sincerely. You've interviewed almost anybody who has anything to do with the show, and I really do appreciate that. Sincerely, I'm looking you right in the eye, right in the camera. Thank you very much. going around me and directly to my kid to interview my kid was not cool. That doesn't make you a hustler. That makes you kind of creepy or disrespectful. But it was just one bad decision. I will overlook it even though it's my kid. I schooled up my kids. I schooled up my family early on in the game. Like, at first, you don't tell them anything because they're kids. And then, you know, they find the incident on YouTube. And then I start to kind of school them up. All right, here's the thing. We have a good life. And in large part, we have this life because of them. And out of them, 98% of them are respectful and they're great and it's fun, but 2% of them are the ones you want to look out for. So just keep that in mind. Don't take it personally. Under that category of 2% of them might be somebody who has a show about the show that reaches out to you directly to interview you about the old man and the show. You want to watch out for that one. Sam writes, Bromy, book those dudes for your next entire Eagle River vacation. They freaking crack me up. Ward the brother Sklar. The thing is, brother, I would, but they have their own career and lives. They're not easy to get. They're not easy to turn. They do it whenever they can, but they're booked out. They tour. They have shows. They have families. They have lives. They're extremely talented. They have podcasts. I mean, they are a production company on it themselves. So, yes, you have my word. I always try to book them whenever I can, and whenever they can do it, they do. But no, I can't book them. And believe me, nobody shows more respect and appreciation or as good as anybody. Ben Mesrick, right there, too. Ben Mesrick is an enormously successful writer, producer, author, and he is always sworn by you clones. So this is what I like best about these guys. Their talent, their grind, their work ethic, their energy, their enthusiasm, and their respect and love for, quote, the seat and the jungle. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Let's get right to it. We are joined right now by head football coach at Minnesota, best-selling author, entering his sixth season with the Golden Gophers, recipient of 3 Conference Coach of the Year awards, one of 2 coaches in school history with 2 9-win seasons, led Minnesota to 3 bowl wins in the last 4 years. They open up their season against New Mexico State on September 1st, right around the corner. PJ Fleck is my guest. PJ, you know I have to start you off the same question that I always do. How are you doing today, PJ?
Doing absolutely elite, Jim. Thanks for having us on the show, man.
I knew it. Great to have you back. All right, so let me ask you this. You've already talked about this being the most committed team that you've had at Minnesota. How do you see that commitment showing up in the offseason, and then what does that mean for the upcoming regular season?
Yeah, first of all, you know, commitment's all about your best players being your hardest workers. Your maturity's at a high level where doing what you have to do becomes doing what you want to do. They're doing it for each other, and the players are leading. You know, we've got guys. Clay Geary is a seventh-year player. We got Tanner, Moe, Chris Altman-Bell, John Michael Schmitz, who are basically our encore four, who are back for a 6th year. We've got a lot of guys who have played a ton of football, and it shows in their leadership and their commitment every day to themselves and their teammates.
We're talking to PJ Fleck. You mentioned John Michael Schmitz. Let me ask you about him, because you told The Athletic that, quote, I've never met a more mentally tough football player probably in my career, end of quote. That's an extremely high bit of praise. What is it about Schmitz that sets him apart in that regard?
Well, he's real, he's authentic, he's genuine, and he works harder than anybody I've ever met. And when you work hard, it doesn't guarantee you anything, but it stacks up the chances. And he stacked up so many chances on and off the field. He understands the opportunity he has in front of him and takes advantage of all those opportunities. You know, it's one thing to go to the University of Minnesota or go to a university in general and know that you're getting a full ride scholarship, go to school, play football, but do you take advantage of all the resources that are around you? And he's really smart and intelligent, and he does that. He's got a ton of NIL deals. You know, he's poised to have a heck of a year here And he's got a wonderful family supporting him.
We're talking to P.J. Fleck. P.J., also one of the talking points coming into the season is the return of Muhammad Ibrahim. He rushed for more than 160 yards and a couple of scores in the first three quarters of that season opener against Ohio State before he ruptured his Achilles. For those who don't remember, he could have gone to the NFL after last year. He chose to return. How does he look to you right now? Bring me up to date.
He looks fantastic. He's having a tremendous training camp. You know, Mo came back for his teammates. He came back to give it, you know, one more go. He could have obviously easily been in the National Football League right now, but I think he just wanted to write a different ending. You know, and not many times you have control of an ending, at least have the ability to rewrite an ending. And he has the ability to do that. I think he's at peace of his decision of what he decided to do. He's all in. He's got no regrets no matter what. And I think that's what it's all about, the pain of discipline versus pain of regret. He was really disciplined in the decision he was going to make, whether he was going to return or stay. But once he made it, he was fully committed. And once you're fully committed to that, there are no regrets. You give everything you possibly have, and he's been great to this point, and he's the ultimate overachiever. So I look forward to watching him this year.
I like that. P.J. Fleck is joining us. You've also made the point that, quote, this is an offensive line league. So whether you're looking to run it or throw it, you've got to dominate on the line. And if you can, you know you can win in that league. How are you feeling about your line coming into this season?
Yeah, my message to our offensive line is not letting other people label you and judge you and tell you what you should be. You know, because we've lost 181 starts up front. That's a lot of starts, but we only have 35 returning, and I think John Michael Schmitz is like 32 of those 35. So when you look at it on paper, we shouldn't be as good. But that's why you recruit. That's why you develop. And you get to a point where who's to say we can't be a better offensive line than we were last year? Are we a different offensive line? Absolutely. Does this offensive line have different characteristics and qualities and attributes than our other O-line? Absolutely. But who's to say we can't be better? We might be different, but who's to say we can't be different? So that's been our whole message, and they're gelling together really well, and John Michael Schmitz is the main reason for that. The ultimate leader, ultimate connector, his NIL deals, he'll take a lot of linemen with him. He shares his NIL money. He's just a selfless guy, and that spread throughout our offensive line as they gel together.
So, PG, I remember when you took that job and the conversations we had around that time, you didn't have a lot of connections to the state of Minnesota, but you had a vision for the program and its place in the state and the conference. How much has the perception then of Minnesota football changed in the time that you've been there?
Well, hopefully it's really important. You know, I know we got a tremendous fan base who really loves the Golden Gopher football program. They show us a ton of support. And I think the hardest part of leadership in anything that we do is changing people's thoughts, perceptions, ideas, in the way they view something. And that takes a long time. I'd say that, you know, we feel like we're in a really better place than when we first got here. And that's all we're going to keep focusing on is finding a way to be better today than we were yesterday and make our fan base proud.
So I hear what you're saying. I know you're focused on getting a little better today than you were yesterday, and you're focused on you and what you can control. But in terms of the news that USC and UCLA were going to join the conference, when you heard that, what was the first thing that went through your mind, and what was your reaction?
I mean, quote, that's fantastic. I thought it was absolutely awesome. We have so many living alumni out there, and I think every head coach looks at expansion through their own university's lens. How does it affect us? That's the first thing we all should do, right? When we're in charge of a program, you got to know how it's going to affect your program first. And I thought it was outstanding. We have so many living alumni out there in the LA and California area on the West Coast. You know, I mean, for our parents and fans, it's another travel destination. You know, and then we talk a little bit about the travel, you know, with the student athletes. But, you know, I'm from the Mid-American Conference. When you're traveling Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, 6-7 hour bus rides. In 2019, we went to Fresno one game. We went out to Rutgers one game. We went coast to coast and ended up winning 11 games. So I think it's really good for the conference. Kevin Warren has done a tremendous job leading us through this time of change because change is inevitable. And to be able to add UCLA and USC to the Big Ten market is really a positive thing for the Big Ten, and we look forward to it.
P.J. Fleck is joining us for another moment or so. So you open up against New Mexico State on September 1st, as I mentioned, right around the corner. In fact, 2 weeks from tomorrow, what are your top priorities for now until then?
Just keep getting better. It sounds corny. It sounds generic, but we have to get a lot better. Our guys have been so committed the last 2.5 weeks. And there's so much evidence to show you that, you know, we have so many things that we never once had, the catapult systems, you know, output energy, speeds of players. And it's all put into formulas of how you build scripts and practices based on the health of your football team and to keep them safe and healthy. This team is incredibly committed. They continue to do things that impress me every day. And we're just going to continue to keep our head down, keep rowing that boat, and just keep getting better every single day and keep gelling together as a very connected team.
So, PG, I know you took a hard look in the mirror after last season. Now, I would argue last season was a really successful season, but there were some things you wanted to shore up. When you looked in the mirror at the end of last season, how did you personally approach the offseason?
Oh, I had to be better. We won 9 games, and that's back-to-back, I think, nine-plus win seasons in normal years for the first time since 1900 through 1905 here at Minnesota. But when you look at it, the job of the head football coach is to get the most out of his football team and to make sure that you as a head coach don't beat your football team itself. And I think I made a few calls that might have put our team in a tough position that maybe we weren't ready for. You know, we had 5 running backs go down last year. We had to move a linebacker to running back just to get through the season. We had 4 of our wideouts on offense out half the year. So we had to find ways to be able to take the square peg, jam it into the round hole. But we won 9 games and won a bowl game. That's not why we just came here. We came here to be a championship football team. We were 3-3 in one possession games last year, but everybody sits there and says, well, you could have been 12-1. Yeah, good point. But we also could have been 6-7. So there's a balance to all of that. And we got to find ways. Like 2019, we were 6-1 in one possession games. That's why we won 11 games. So we just have to continue to close the gap on ourselves, make ourselves better, do a ton of off-season projects, which we have done, studied ourselves, and really dive into what kind of football team we are. And then if all goes really bad, what kind of football team will we be? And be more prepared for that than I was last year. And that's the responsibility I put on myself every day.
No days off. He's the head football coach in Minnesota, a best-selling author. And once again, Minnesota's going to open up against New Mexico State. That is September 1st. P.J. Fleck closing the show for us. P.J., great to have you back. Thank you very much. And I know we'll do it again soon.
I appreciate it. Roll the boat, Sky Mile. Go Gophers. Thanks for having us on, Jim.
Great talking to you, PJ. Appreciate you, as always. Huge call brought to you by Dell Technologies. Dell has the tools to empower yours, your company, like smart PCs powered by Intel vPro platform. Dell Technologies. Thanks for listening. We're out.